It's Tuesday and time to read from your emails and web comments. Our conversation about Kelly Williams-Bolar, the Ohio parent sentenced to jail time for registering her kids in a school outside her own school district, sent many of you to your keyboards. Judy Stoker in Cincinnati wrote, "My children attend the School for Creative and Performing Arts, and many students at this school do not live in the Cincinnati Public School District, but falsify records to attend the school. We left a school district that is rated excellent with distinction because our children have done better in a performing arts environment. We've struggled with this issue because we know so many children are better served by the School for Creative and Performing Arts. We've not raised the alarm because we think it's important to advocate for the children. It's a tough situation, but that's where we stand." Barbara Shaw was a teacher who posted this to our blog. "If you have ever experienced the huge discrepancies that occur between schools in the same city school system, you would completely support this woman's quandary." She continued, "Within the same 10-mile radius, I've taught in schools whose access to resources were amazingly different, where, for example, in one school there were hundreds of computers and in another there were not even books in the library. I quit teaching after being transferred to a different school because of this tremendous discrepancy and the stress it placed on me as an educator. It's even worse for families who are faced with this." Our program about siblings reunited after years of separation brought this letter from Patricia Mathis in Houston. "In 1995, when I was 43, I was contacted by my English half-brother who was given up for adoption by our mother in 1949. My brother Michael was raised in England while our mother married an American soldier, had me, and then moved to the States. In 1995, Michael called, then came for a reunion. He said it took him 12 years to find us. Michael will be here again in May for my father's 80th birthday. We're all very happy he found us." Rosemary LeSpirit, given up for adoption at birth, was reunited with her brothers and sisters. She wrote, "After an initial meeting, my birth mother distanced herself. However, when she passed away a few years ago, my four sisters reached out to me, and I found that I have five brothers. I now have a rich relationship with them, but the cautionary note is that reunions aren't always so wonderful." We asked you to tell us your favorite sentence during our discussion with Stanley Fish about his book, How to Write a Sentence. Becky Jewell in Colorado suggested the first sentence of Don DeLillo's White Noise. "The station wagons arrived at noon, a long, shining line that coursed through the West Campus." The sentence gives us something that perhaps every kid in college has been part of, arriving at school. She wrote, "It's a beginning, but it's also something else. DeLillo configures the station wagons into something like a natural force, perhaps a destructive or flood-like force. What's to follow after this sentence is a novel that treats apocalyptic disasters that have occurred due to human forces, and it follows the lives that bend and flow around those events." If you have sentences to share with us in the form of corrections, comments, or questions, the best way to reach us is by email. Our address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow me there, @NeilConan, all one word. Talk of the Nation is produced by Arnie Seipel, John Asante, Scott Braswell, and Sarah Handel. Sarah also handles our web content. Our editor today is Barry Hardiman. Gwen Uten directs the program. Our intern is Colin Campbell. Sean Phillips is our technical director. He gets engineering help from Jerry Tennant, Dennis Nielsen, and Neil Ellis. Talk of the Nation's theme music was composed by Greg Smith. Our senior producer is Carlene Watson. Sue Goodwin is the executive producer. President Mubarak in Egypt is still expected to make an important announcement tonight on state television. Many news agencies continue to report he's expected to announce that he will not run for president in elections scheduled for September. Stay tuned to NPR News for the latest from Egypt. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.